Recording stopped. Good morning, honorable members.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning,
Njani?
Morning, Chair. Siyaphila.
So can I change your name?
Siyaphila, Mama Njani Masondo.
Ngiyaphila, Honorable Chair. Wena unjani?
Ngiphethwe isifo.
Chair, before we start, ngicela ukubuza la. Sivumelekile yini ukungenisa abantu abezothatha amanothi wethu nga-individual?
Kanjani?
Ngibona lapha kukhona okhona
phakathi. Chair?
Yeah.
Can I just clarify, Chair? Usually this is the app I had from an online classes. It just takes notes for you in the meeting. I would remove it, but I'll just have to check if I'm able to. But it was just an assistant for schoolwork, really. It's an AI tool. It's an artificial intelligence tool.
Oh, okay. Oh, you go be born at 10 man in Makata. Manje mina bengipresa kuloyo nto leyo ke ngitshele nje ngoba ngakhona ukungena ngize ngifunele isibanzi singena kanjani namhlanje.
No, I'll try and remove it, Chair. I'm not sure I know how to quickly remove it, but I'll be removing it. But it's just an artificial intelligence tool. It's not a person.
She's not answering and telling me that it's this over that.
Well, the problem is because
she doesn't know.
I said, no, me, you in there. I'm
not sure, maybe.
It's just AI, just like we're using Zoom, but
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Masiko.
Hey, I just wanted to also report that today I'm attending the provincial sofa, state of the province, but I am in the meeting. Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right.
When does your sofa start?
Hey, Masiko.
It's 10, but I think it's 10. For
that's 11. At 10. I think it's 10 for it.
Chair?
Ma?
Marlene, Chair. I'm Shani.
Yes, Ila.
Ndikhona ndiyecela wethu Chair ndilog inile but ndizongena eflightini imessage ndiyithole so late kuba saba nemeeting so ndiza eKapa ndise airport njengangoku ndizawudipatsha.
Oh,
ndicela uxolo Chair.
Okay,
all right, Chair.
So,
you can start now, right?
Yes, Chair.
Recording in progress.
You are all welcome, honorable members. I declare this
recording in progress.
Open, and you are all welcome, honorable members. We thank God that those of us who traveled to Durban, we traveled safe. We are all back. And our condolences to the families, the Sempumalanga, of who had an accident. Who passed on, And some of them, it was said they are admitted in hospitals that in Mpumalanga and KZN, I'm sure if I'm not mistaken. But we also lost one of our comrades, La Ekuruleni, Comrade Mpia K, who had a short breath. And then our sincere condolences to all the families. May their souls rest in peace. I think these are some of the incidents that happened unplanned. You know, it's catchy. So, Pila,
it's only known by God.
So I even asked when you are flying to Cape Town, you need to pray because we don't know your landing, whether you'll be landing safe or you're not going to land safe. And but anything can happen. You know, I remember in one of the days, take a short breath inside the flight. And fortunately, I had two passengers sitting with me in a three-seater, and they assisted me to breathe by doing first aid. So these things, they happen, honorable members. So you need to pray to God for you. And that you don't know tomorrow. When you plan for tomorrow, that's why the word of God says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you are plans not to destroy you, but to prosper you. And your plans are not my plans. When God says those things, sometimes we don't understand. We think, if I believe, I should be, but
I
honestly, these things are happening. No one knew, but this time it will be a Mpumalanga bus that will collide and people will die. But it means it will be cut.
Their names have been written. It was there. His name.
One of the businessmen, Ekuruleni, and he was very helpful to comrades who are not working. So may their souls rest in peace. With those few remarks, and honorable members, I think as we are going to start with our elections, President has announced the date, Yema elections, which is the 29th of May, and Tina, as members of parliament, will cease to be members of parliament on the 21st of May. So make sure that you prepare everything, honorable members. If you are not coming back, also prepare, because this is the only time you can make your things, set up your things right, so that you are not caught by surprise that tomorrow when our elections are declared, go to which parties got what percentages, and then we collapse. So we must be ready for whatever outcomes we'll have. And I wish you the best in your list, that you must come back to Parliament. And Tina, we have only one project of finalizing AMA vacancies with CGE. On Friday, I had a lengthy meeting with the lawyers, the Parliament, and those that are appointed by the Speaker, because the Corruption Watch has opened up a case against the speaker to the Constitutional Court. So Friday, we had a meeting in the morning and in the afternoon with the lawyers. And then Monday also, they were finalizing the case because Corruption Watch wants the Constitutional Court to nullify the appointment done by the president of the commissioners. I don't know whether Mabati must be set aside. It must be nullified for what? Because it will mean CGE won't function. Whatever they are doing, it's going to also affect other Chapter 9 institutions. Because the processes that you are using, a parliament, I think you are using the same processes to appoint Chapter 9 to fill in vacancies and remake a recommendation to the president. So I thought that maybe let me brief you so that you get it from me. Okay, these are the developments. That's why when Nelisa was dealing with the publishing of applicants that have applied for CGE to be commissioners, I told her that inconsistency in terms of resolutions that are taken by us in meeting, what needs to be done. And it took long because they have to remove personal information of candidates one by one. But she's done. Yesterday I was also busy with her to double check. She did what is supposed to be done by her, but so far all is well, unless there is something that I omitted in Ibonanga, but so far I have seen most of the CVs that she published. And the names that she published, I was double checking, but she didn't publish the wrong names. So when we're dealing with these processes, there's a lot of work that I do with the staff. And I must make sure that all things are in place so that when we are challenged by any other person, were able to provide information accurate, not some sucking information or chairperson. So these are some of the things that we do behind the scenes, and in an end product most of the time, but it's a lot of work that is done by the staff and myself. So Okwamanje, who are awaiting ama fingerprints, were the people that you shortlisted so that you can submit to human resource and state security. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let's go to my apologies. And our agenda for today, Nelly, give us the apologies. We have noted the apologies that must be common, Sonti. And we have also noted the explanation, Temani, Honorable Temani. so that tomorrow we cannot be blamed that somebody was recording our meetings and so forth. But I think sometimes I have a concern with a KPMG that, you know, sometimes we are being quoted. I don't know, how do you write things sometimes in the meetings? How do you capture our discussions in our meetings? But please capture what is said in a meeting in a correct way, because that also is cited in that report. And I don't think what they're citing is correct. Who that day was from KPMG, who was taking notes of what was said in the meeting. Thank you very much, and honorable members, let's get the agenda yet from Unelisa, and also give us, I think we're going to discuss some reports. Wama OCGE. I3, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it, Nelis?
Yes, Chair. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. I just want to indicate that I have not received any apologies, so there are no apologies for this meeting. And in terms of the agenda, we're going to discuss, ECG is going to present three reports, Chair. The first one will be the report of the CGG, of the CGE investigation into the state of shelters in South Africa, implementation of recommendations. Then the second one is investigation into the state of shelter 2022-2023. And the last one will be the learner pregnancy policy interplay, school dropout of adolescent girls during pregnancy and in the postpartum period in selected South Africa 2023. That's the report, and the last one will be minutes, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
I think the other thing that I wanted to bring to the attention of members is that due to AMA elections that have been announced, the data from elections that have been announced by the President, honorable members, I think you know that you're not going to have I'm oversight visit, whether study tours or whatever. We got an invitation from its Department of Women to go to New York, but due to our elections, we are no longer granted the permission to go. So next term we'll go, but this term we're not going to go to New York. So in Parliament, they are saying we must finalize all the reports so that we submit our legacy report and concentrate and prioritize our legislations, and we don't have a legislation. We have dealt with our legislations. So what the department wanted to bring another bill, but we can't.
They were out of time.
Because remember, when we pass any bill in the NA, it must also go to NCOP, and if it's a Section 76, then NCOP can't do AMA shortcuts. They need to follow due processes. And so till now we don't have a bill. But NCOP has to pass the two bills that we have passed in AMA. So I think those are the announcements that I needed to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee, honorable members. I see the hands of the chairperson of CGE.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the honourable members. I just wanted to explain that Commissioner O'Hara, Commissioner Naidu, and Commissioner Mutupi are struggling to join, but I've seen that they have joined. They keep going in and out. So I just wanted to explain that they have joined now. And then secondly, there are other people whose names indicate there. I just wanted to account for them. Naledi Silibano, she has since left. She is our acting HOD research. She has joined the CGE team in the boardroom. And then there's Mika Shipalana, that is Commissioner Mazibuku's PA. So that's Commissioner Mazibuku has connected there. And we also have CAC Shuping, who's acting HOD, who was part of these reports. We have asked him and Naledi to join us today. And there is Thabo Mbatha, who is also joined in the boardroom. I just wanted to account for those additional CGE members. Thanks, Chair.
I think there is something very important that I want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee, which is done by some of your commissioners, Chairperson. Your commissioners must stop calling members of the portfolio committee, telling them about things that are happening in CGE. Don't come and divide us. We had enough of those things with the previous commissioners. Whether you call members of the ANC or you call members of the EFF or of the DA of Inkatha, all my members will tell me that Tay so and so called and said 1, 2, 3. Keep your shenanigans to yourselves. If you are fighting in CGE, fight. Don't draw us in to your battles. We are a united committee. We work as a collective. There's nothing that you can say to any of my members and they won't bring it to my attention. They will come and tell me. So don't crack their heads and frustrate them, because all of us here as members of this portfolio committee, we were fighting your battles for a very long time. We've been in the newspapers unnecessarily. So don't come with that to us again. Because some of you, you are stubborn. You don't want even to listen to your colleagues. Some of you, you think you know too much. And you come and bring those things to our members. Don't do it. You have a team of commissioners. You have your chair and the deputy chair. Keep your things to yourself. We don't want to know your shenanigans, your battles or whatever. It's just the
Honourable thing that brings together as your
work. You are appointed. If you don't want to work with the collective, ship out and don't cause problems for us.
Okay. Please don't make us go.
Leave my members. Leave them. They are honorable members. They don't want to be part of your battles. They want to listen to your report here in the meeting. Anything that you are not satisfied about and you have raised it in your plenary and it's not attended to, why don't you write formally? So, yegelana my members, bitch.
Leave our members alone, please. Fight amongst yourself and the show. Don't involve our members. Also, don't call me as well.
If ever there are things that you want to
call me only if there are things.
Where as the portfolio committee we can do. With that one, the door is open. And
I don't want to know. Don't tell me such things.
I hope the message is clear and loud. We are one here. You call Mamsenga, Mamsenga will tell me. You call Honorable Sheriff will tell me. You call Mamsonti, or you call Mam Kaula will tell me. So, don't do that. I think we are enough with these things. You are all adults. You are not school girls. Thank you very much, honorable members. Nelisa, may you please give us the apologies?
Chairperson, there are no apologies for today's meeting. I have not received any apology, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, the first item in your agenda.
Chair, sorry, can I also add, Commissioner Naidu has got a family emergency. She's got a family member in hospital. So she may leave us earlier than usual when she gets called, but she is here for the duration of the meeting if she does not get called. Thank you.
Okay. It's okay, Chair. Nelly?
The first report is the report on the just read it. Is the report of the CGE on investigation into the state of shelters in South Africa, implementation of recommendations. It will be followed by the investigation into the state of shelters 2022-2023. And the last one will be on learner pregnancy policy interplay, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks. Over to you, Chair. Chairperson?
So, sorry, Chair, I didn't switch off the mute. Chair, today we are going to start with one report on the shelters. It will be presented by the acting CEO, Dr. Matotoka, and then we will move on to the first two reports, and then we will move on to the third one, which will be presented either by Dr. Matotoka or Ms. Naledi Suleiman. Dr. Matotoka, over to you.
I hope the reports that you are presenting to us were commissioned by yourselves, ne? Things that were done by yourselves. It's not something that was sent, given to you to come and present it to us. Because Lapo, we have a problem of people doing research which was not commissioned by CGE, and then CGE come and present things here as if those are things that were done by yourself. At the end of the day, when things you are challenged, not getting king in.
You also get in trouble.
That's definitely evidence. Okay.
CEO, are you getting ready? Chair, let me phone the CEO and find out. Maybe there's a technical glitch on the other side.
Yeah, I'm talking about mute.
Maybe she's muted.
Maybe he is muted. I guess we're away.
Chair, they say they can hear us very clearly, but we don't seem to hear them on the other side. So they're going to log out and log in again. Sorry for the inconvenience, Chair and honorable members and colleagues.
if it's working first. Chairperson, can you hear us?
Yes, now, thank you.
All right, apologies for that, Chairperson. I will just use a different device. So I'm under Tabo M. I'm with Commissioner Gumede and Mr. Tshepiso being in this meeting in the boardroom. Chairperson, the question was around whether the research that we're about to present was commissioned by the CGE. Chairperson, I can confirm that indeed when it comes to the state of shelters, this was commissioned by the CGE. I confidently say that because I was part of the investigation team from the commencement of the study on shelters leading to 2022-2023. And at all material times, we did not rely on any third party. It was ourselves on the ground conducting inspections in loco.
I see research for Yenza for school, don't
you? I bo.
Research for school.
Okay, it was not. It was solely for the purposes of achieving the APP targets, as well as doing necessary intervention in the shelters.
Okay.
All right. Perhaps, Chairperson, the video. Chairperson, allow me by simply stating firstly why we did the investigation into the state of shelters as the CGE. It dated back to 2018-2019 financial year, and what we unearthed was the inadequate funding of shelters in the country, and there was no uniformity around the funding of these shelters in the country, and that created a lot of challenges for sustainability of the shelters in the country, and the challenges relating to the late payments as well also affected the proper functioning of the shelters in the country. Now, when we conducted the investigation, we look at the number of instruments that empowered us to determine what is it that needs to be done to make sure that there is proper functioning of shelters in the country. And we relied largely on a decision that was passed in the Free State, wherein it was the National Association of Welfare Organization and non-governmental organization versus the member of the Executive Council of South Africa, particularly in the Free State. Now, in this decision, there was a clear guideline that was provided by the court to say what would really amount to a fair, reasonable funding of shelters in the country. Now, we use that judgment, Chairperson and honorable members, as a guiding tool to see to what extent has the Department of Social Development complied with the directives or guidelines so that the challenges that we have unearthed, we can see what is the limitation when we match that with the decision. Now, there was something very particular that I would like to quote to the honorable Chairperson and members. It was stated there in the judgment that the availability, and I've not yet projected the presentation, this is just the overall before I get into the actual presentation. The court indicated to us as we read that judgment that the availability of resources is therefore an important factor in determining what is reasonable, but the lack of funds cannot be used as a lame excuse. The resources must be provided as far as reasonably possible, and reasonableness must also be understood in the context of the Bill of Rights. It was further stated that the progressive realization means that the rights in question must over time be accessible to a large number of people and a wide range of persons as well. The department, meaning the Department of Social Development, is obliged to take reasonable measures to progressively to eliminate and reduce the deprivation of rights. Now, when we started this investigation, we then used this decision as a guiding tool to probe the extent in which shelters are compliant with this judgment. And we resolved at the time, Chairperson, to call the heads of the 9 provincial departments, as well as the DG for DSD, as well as other institutions that we felt they played a critical role when it comes to the proper functioning of shelters in the country. This includes, amongst others, the South African Police Service, the Department of Public Works, the Department of Health, the Department of Human Settlement as well, because in our view, when we are going to address issues of or the challenges of shelters in the country, there needs to be a concerted collaboration or a concerted effort between stakeholders for us to realize the progressive realization of those rights. So for example, when you realize that there is a paucity or lack of capacity of shelters in the country, of course, that cannot be the sole responsibility of DSD. The Department of Public Works needs to come in and provide the necessary infrastructure so that we can increase the capacity. With the South African Police Service, why we chose the South African Police Service is because we also observe that they play a critical role when it comes to the safety of survivors that are accommodated at various shelters as well. So what role are they playing in as far as that is concerned? So that is the basis and the rationale of saying we're not just going to confine these to the Department of Social Development alone, but we are going to bring other like-minded institutions that we felt played a critical role in the proper functioning of shelters in the country. Now, Mr. Chairperson, I'll just quickly try to project the presentation. I ask for indulgence for a second. Chairperson, just want to confirm if you can see my screen.
Yes, one.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sure.
Now, I laid that background, Chairperson, to just provide the basis of why we conducted investigations into the shelters. And we actually saw during the COVID-19 period even more problems coming out of the shelters in terms of bed capacity, the inability to accommodate persons of different sexual orientations in some of the shelters, the inability of some of the shelters to immediately accommodate those that were urgently needing shelters because of gender-based violence and femicide-related matters. So I think this investigation became even more relevant and even more pressing, and also says to the country, there is an urgent need for all stakeholders to partake in this process as well. And just even at the high level, Chairperson, so issues around security within the shelters remain a challenge. When we did our inspection in Logos, I was one of the team members that had the opportunity to even engage some of the security officers that we found in the shelters. And it became evident from our engagement that there's an urgent need for shelters across the country to ensure that there is proper vetting of security officers, and particularly around gender-related issues, gender-based violence and femicide, and why we have shelters in the first place. Because we cannot have security who first and foremost, they view the persons that have been admitted into the shelters as potential sex partners as well. You cannot have security guards that are guarding such persons at the shelters, but their language and their demeanor is great that I've been admitted into the shelters as well. And addition to that, because shelters generally accommodate women who we know that they're either going through a court process, either they're trying to finalize a protection order, whatever the case may be, the security guards need to be capacitated themselves so that when you have people like the accused persons who want to forcefully enter the shelter, they must be able to protect the survivors that are admitted there. So what we were able to find there, that some of these things are not there. The language is problematic. The understanding of some of the women that are being admitted there as potential sex partners became a problem to us. The fact that they were not properly vetted as well was an area that we have raised as well. Now, I've already highlighted the issue of inconsistent funding because that is the genesis of our investigation. In some provinces, you do find that the funding is consistent, but in some provinces, it fluctuates year in, year out. Yet, the budgets that are allocated there are the same. So it is from that premise where in some of the investigations we said, particularly in the Free State, the Auditor General needs to come in and tell us what is happening and what do they find in terms of the inconsistent spending of the budget allocated for shelters there. And then we also had specific challenges in the previous years with the shelters around the non-accreditation chairperson of the skills development programs for women that are admitted in the shelters as well. So they have a variety of programs. It may be sewing. We do know that in one shelter, one-stop center that I attended, there's a lady there who even wrote a whole book about her experience and they were assisting her in terms of really publishing the book and so forth. So you have a variety of skills and programs that are there, but the problem is they are not accredited. And one of the things we thought would be prudent is that they must have those programs accredited and they must engage the CETAs or the TVET colleges so that we can start to have a meaningful impact in terms of those. In addition, at the high level, Chairperson, we have observed throughout the years the challenges with the house mothers that are there to take care and assist the social workers when they engage with the victims that are admitted there, or potential complainants rather that are admitted at the shelters. Again, if you don't vet them, if you don't have professionals, if you don't have people who understand the importance of confidentiality, you are going to see the shelters not really achieving what they're meant to do, because it means that the information that house mothers get during the consultation is just going to be in the corridors. And that's what we're able to see. So they are going to go see some of them because about some of the challenges that those that are admitted have experienced. And of course, it's demoralizing. And we also felt that it's important that we strengthen the relationship between the house mothers and the complainants that are admitted there, as well as social workers. So if the house mother has in any way access to confidential information, there must be a system that compels them not to disclose that information and or use it against those that are admitted there to feel in a particular way. So those are the challenges that we have there. The issues around sanitary pads as well. If there is no proper monitoring of how mothers, house mothers are handling some of the complainants there, you will find that some of these products are even withheld because somebody feels that they've been there for long, therefore they can deprive some of the basic rights that they're entitled to. So there was a special focus from 2018 leading to 2021, 2022 that we need to also put a close eye on the house mothers. They must be properly vetted. They must have, but most importantly, let us also comply with the minimum wage in the country. You cannot be underpaying the house mothers on the basis that they inverted commas. So we have made some of the recommendations from 2018 leading to 2022, 2023 that there must be compliance with the minimum wage. And I will be reporting on some of the work that, or rather the progress around some of those recommendations. Chairperson, one of the issues that we've seen from 2018 leading to 2022 is the complaints that are coming in from the complainants that are admitted in various shelters. Ideally, the process is that they must be admitted there for a period of 6 months. And after 6 months, if their matters are not resolved, of course, you can explore up to a year their stay in the shelters and so forth. One of the things that we unearthed from 2018 leading to now was that we have those complainants who now have turned the shelters into their permanent homes, and they do not want to leave the premises. And there might be a number of factors that are contributing towards that. One thing that we know, of course, the fact that the matters have been concluded before the relevant justice system is one of that. But the other, the fear of going back into society, the fact that also we have economic challenges there is also problematic. Some of them don't have actual homes where they will stay. So we have seen a number of challenges, particularly with Ikhaya Temba. There have been a number of challenges that are coming there wherein persons to stay longer than the designated period. And there was also this misunderstanding, Chairperson, that whenever a complainant walks into the shelter, the DSD or the shelters are already planning their exit, you know, so they are quick to exit them out of the system rather than providing the necessary capacity to them. And what we to unearth, well, yes, that may be the case, but the rationale behind it is that from admitted, you know, with the relevant social worker, there needs to be proper planning around how we are going to reintegrate you back to society, what are the needs that you need, what are the demands, so that that can inform a plan that a complainant would work with the social worker, preparing the exit and so forth. So we also observed the issue of late payments of some of the funds from the DST to the NPOs. I'll be also talking to some of those. So at high level, Chairperson, I've just summarized what we were doing from 2018 leading to 2022-2023 as constant challenges that we were trying to address with the shelters as well with the Department of Social Development and other partners as well. Now, in terms of the presentation, I will then quickly go and start with the Department of Social Development, particularly in the Free State. Now, the Free State was one of those entities that appeared before us in 2019. And one of the things that clearly came out there, first and foremost, was that there was a paucity of shelters that existed in the province, and they were insufficient in that regard. And I just want to try to move this. Yeah, let me move this. So there was a paucity of shelters that existed, and the demand was high in the province. And went to its appearance, the Free State agreed with the commission that indeed there was a paucity of shelters, but then there were plans in place to establish additional shelters there in the province as well. And one of the things that we've highlighted there was that, again, we observed that the department was not complying with the guidance that was provided for by the Nawongo judgment, where they say you must have a policy or a funding criteria that is uniform across the province. So Free State was one of those that didn't have consistent funding over the years. So we did say that they must study the judgment. The judgment is very much clear about fairness, equitable funding for NPOs as well. We have said that they must look at the guidance provided by the court and then comply with the directives accordingly. So the Free State did concede that it failed in the implementation of the judgment and indicated to the commission that additional funding was equitably earmarked for the shelters within the province. The additional funding ensured the progressive realization of shelters as contemplated in the judgment that I've highlighted. The following recommendations were then made to the department, that the department was to provide further information on the costing model used to establish the shelter in Karib for 2020-2021 financial year. The Free State Department was to report to the commission also on the implementation of the judgment as well. The third recommendation that we've issued to the Free State Department was to provide clarity on the remaining shelters in terms of funding sought from the department. And the department was to conduct an internal audit on the current number of shelters operational within the province versus the need for more shelters. Now, in terms of this recommendation, this is now the feedback that we have received. The Free State, we also said regarding the recommendation that the Free State should develop a costing model for the establishment of shelter in Karib District. The Free State confirmed that it would establish the shelter and in the Fezile Dabi district. After a lengthy process to secure a building for the establishment of the shelter in the Karib district, a house was allocated by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in February 2022. The house in question placed the house in question, which is the Karib Dam House, placed the Free State Department of Social Development in a difficult position as the financial year was ending. And the Free State Department had not earmarked the dam as the targeted area for the intervention of a functioning shelter. So what is happening there, Chairperson, is when it comes to the development of or the allocation of shelters, first and foremost, the Department of Public Works does provide certain infrastructures or houses. But what is important is that the engagement between the Department of Social Development, the Department of Public Works also becomes very much critical, so that the Department of Public Works provides shelters or buildings or infrastructures according to the needs of the Department of Social Development. So one of the things that we unearthed was that there was no clear communication to share the specific needs of what should the infrastructure look like and what it should entail. So of course, from us, we are saying, Chairperson, the shelters that you are going to develop, they must also take into consideration issues around disability as well. We must talk about accessibility as well. We must talk about safety as well. So it cannot just be a random, just for the sake of dispatching a mandate to allocate the shelter. So we are saying certain needs the Department of Social Development must accordingly share with the Department of Public Works so that they can renovate and revamp accordingly so that those needs are adhered to. During a departmental strategic session in March 2022, this was part of an engagement for the Department of Social Development and the Public Works to really deal with this house that was identified to say, does it meet the standard that is expected for the survivors that want to be admitted in those shelters. There have been so this back and forth meetings that have been taking back, dating back from March 2022 with different departmental strategic sessions to engage both the Department of Social Development as well as the public Public Works Department as well. The Free State Department further confirmed that the National DSD was informed of the decision taken by the management collective. That is in relation to the property that was identified in the Free State for the Karib Dam. Prior to the publication of our report, the Commission also was made aware that an additional shelter was established in Koffiefontein from the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure. This was well captured also in various media reports that confirmed that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure had handed over the refurnished building to the Department of Free State to assist in providing a safe harbor for victims of gender-based violence and in the area. And why that is important, Chairperson, again, is around having buildings that cater for the needs. The buildings that are not easily accessible even to the criminals who want to get hold of the survivors and so forth. So it must be a proper secluded place, but the needs must be adhered to. So we have commended the Free State Department for its effort to establish a shelter in that district following our investigation. The Free State Department reported that the funding for the Sasolbek shelter in the Fezile Dabi district, so there was an additional one that we said they need to look into. Now, the department stipulated that this shelter would be operational in August 2022. The commission again became aware through independent news report that the member of the executive council opened the shelter in Sasolbek for the Free State DSD, and the premier of the Free State was also involved in that regard. Additionally, the Free State Department reported to the Commission that the extension of the Goldfield shelter in Welkom, located in the Lijwelele Putswa district, was completed in March 2022. The Minister of Social Development...
Lijwelele Putswa.
Sorry, Chair. Lijwelele Putswa. Lijwelele Putswa district was completed in March 2022. The Minister of for Social Development and the MEC officially opened the new extension of the Goldfield shelter in April 2022 during the presidential Imbizo, which visited the Free State to ensure monitoring and implementation of the district model. So, Jefferson, we regard this as a success for the CGE when we look at how stakeholders are able to sit and then plan around how they are going to implement the recommendations of the CGE. The fact that there has been these first two shelters that are now established in the Free State, it gives us comfort that the stakeholders have a shared understanding of the need to extend and increase the numbers of shelters in the country, because there are, of course, priority issues in the country, without a doubt. But we are saying as the CGE cannot be ignored, because when it comes to shelters, we are talking about the dignity, we are talking about the safety of those that are victims of gender-based violence and femicide. So we must be that intentional commitment by the state, like-minded institutions, NGOs, so that we can provide a comprehensive and inclusive shelter. The continued challenge that we have seen, Chairperson, is the inadequate funding model by the Free State Department. And this, of course, prejudices a lot of NPOs, NGOs that provide services in the province. And this puts them even more in a precarious position. So it then becomes important that we have an understanding that the only way we can deal with the inadequate, inconsistent funding when it comes to the shelters, irrespective of which province, we need to have a uniform policy that the National Department of Social Development spearheads, so that we don't have challenges that we see across the provinces. Upon a publication of this report, there was also no confirmation from the Free State Department of Social Development that investigations were completed to find the challenges relating to the lack of funding, particularly to the shelter that was in Botaville. Essentially, now I'm getting confused. For the shelter that is in Botaville. So we needed an investigation to say what is happening in that shelter, because it also provides, it was actually a safe house that we observed for the financial year 2022-2023 financial year. The application was submitted but was not completed correctly. So funding was not allocated or approved. So one of the things that we see and observe during our shelters and contributing to the late payments of some, because the applications at times are not completed accurately. In some instances, bank details are to be properly reflected, and that is an area that contributes to some of that we observe with the late payments of funding to some of the shelters. Now, Northern Cape Chairperson then present a whole different progress to us. I can safely say, Chairperson, since our interactions with the province from 2018 to date, they have established three additional shelters for compliance with the recommendations made by the CGE. So happy with the progress that the Northern Cape has provided. But in more detail, they firstly appeared before us in December 2019, and we did say that government must establish a shelter in Namakwa district, and it was also to ensure that the post Masberg shelter became operational by June 2020 and was to develop within 6 months effective, efficient mechanisms to accurately record funding allocation to shelters. We've also recommended that the department was to adequately and uniformly shelters. As such, a uniform policy for shelters imperative. The Northern Cape Department of Social Development was to also offer the minimum wage to house mothers. So this is linked to what I was saying earlier on, because this is where we find or satisfy ourselves that there was compliance with the minimum wage when it came to house mothers. We've also said we are going to get the AG involved, as well as the minister involved regarding the significant discrepancies in the allocation of funding between the National DSD as well as the Northern Cape DSD, as well as the possible auditing or an investigation into these discrepancies. Despite the efforts by the Northern Cape Department of Social Development to establish a shelter in Namakwa, so this was still back in 2019, which includes the allocation about 700,000 for the establishment of a new shelter. The Northern Cape DSD failed to establish the shelter back then in 2021-2022. So remember, Chair, I'm reporting also on 2021-2022-2022-2023, because it's a sequel, if one can call it that. Therefore, we were concerned at that time to say, but there are these funds and they should be utilized to establish the shelter. We further recommend in our district, as part of providing the justification, it was a problem because most survivors took hours to access the nearest shelter, and this was problematic and not sustainable. The unavailability of shelters within the Namakwa district was concerning to us back then in 2021 financial year, noting that most of the population in the Namakwa district were women, and it is common cause that it was women that were susceptible to gender-based violence because of their vulnerable social and economic position. Regarding the operationalization of the post-Masbeck shelter, the Northern Cape DSD reported that since its appearance before the commission, it has relied on a private mining company to avail a building for the establishment of a shelter. There was an indication that the Northern Cape DSD had made efforts to obtain alternative building in the post-Masbeck for the establishment of the shelter. The commission unearthed significant discrepancies again in Northern Cape, and this is the basis of us saying that we have to get the AG involved. However, Chair, I can safely indicate that we have returned to the AG as well as Treasury in this regard. And one of the feedbacks that we have received here was that the AG it doesn't get involved in terms of budget allocation. So if the budget is allocated, they don't get involved, only in the spending that they can be involved. So in this regard, they could not really intervene for the purposes of the discrepancies that we felt needed a third party to intervene on. Regarding the recommendations commission that the Northern Cape DSD to increase the stipend for house mothers, the commission commends the Northern Cape DSD for the stance to increase the stipend of house mothers from 3,500 to 5,000. The increased stipend is noted as a valuable step towards living income of house mothers who often depend on stipend of their only source of income. So we have recommended this to say let them comply with the minimum wage, and they have done so, and the house mothers moved from 3,500 to 5,000. And this is very critical, Chairperson, because you need to have an eagle eye to say, though you have house mothers, are you able to comply with all the recommendations or rather existing legislation that compels you to ensure that you provide minimal wage. So we did not even miss the opportunity to say they must be compliant in that regard. And we are happy because it is through our intervention there that there was then compliance. Now, in as far as Western Cape is concerned, we have made the following recommendation. Western Cape Department considered that access to shelters, particularly persons with disability, was a challenge, and it is something that they had not considered. And of course, to us, it was a problem. As I said in my opening, Chairperson, that our focus is not just about getting an infrastructure, but you must have an infrastructure that also caters for the needs of persons with disabilities. So this is something that we found to be problematic in the Western Cape with existing shelters that did not communicate, or rather did not accommodate persons with disability. But in addition to that, we found that there was inadequate staff training focusing on the LGBTI persons in the shelters. Because without a proper training, it means they are likely going to experience direct or indirect discrimination, either intended or unintended. So we recommended that this training must take place in the Western Cape, because we know that most of the challenges, particularly around the LGBTI person, emanated from the Western Cape. So it was important that we recommend that the training really takes place with different staff members in those shelters. So what I'm happy about, Chairperson, is that the training indeed took place, from, however, it was delayed by the COVID-19 period. But post the COVID-19 lockdown, they were able to conduct the necessary training to staff and so forth. Now, when it came to accessibility of shelters to ensure that they accommodate persons with disability, the feedback that we received in this regard, Chairperson, was that there were ramps that were now developed in the shelters that we have identified to make sure, for example, those that are using wheelchairs that are able to access the ramps and access the shelters without any physical limitation. So we're happy with the fact that there is progress to comply with the recommendation, particularly to accommodate persons with disability, but also training for LGBTI persons, particularly for the house mothers, became very much important, and Western Cape therefore complied with our recommendations. Now, leading to the Eastern Cape, we have recommended over the years that the Eastern Cape had to develop a funding criteria for shelters, which aligned with the Nawongo judgment. So this is what I was referring to. And that funding criteria, it must be fair and it must be transparent. It must be equitable according to the decision. So this is the recommendation that we've provided. And we've also said the Eastern Cape DSD had to share its GBV action plan with the commission, because they indicated that they are developing this plan and we wanted to scrutinize it and see how it looks and whether it has the right elements for it to be an action plan. Now, in terms of this, the department had to develop a funding criteria, and which criteria was actually developed in line with the criteria outlined by the judgment, and this is something that pleased us when we compare this with other provinces. The criteria of this nature would ensure that shelters are adequately funded. The established criteria further focus on programs which are efficient, economic, and effective, as well as those that would adhere to the best practices of financial management. The criteria was the Eastern Cape support and commitment in sharing and transferring resources to emerging organizations, as well as providing services in accordance with the services packages, norms, and standard. So we were happy with the Eastern Cape because they were able to develop that funding criteria. But what remains a concern is it should not be up to the one province alone. It should be uniform across all the provinces, that they develop a uniform a funding criteria. But I'll talk to what has been done since then with the national department. The Eastern Cape had to draft and share, of course, the action plan on GBV, has spoken about that. And it had to develop an integrated provincial plan along with stakeholders. But the plan would be approved by the Office of the Premier. The Office of the Premier said to have the necessary competence to approve the integrated provincial plan. The establishment of the integrated provincial plan resulted in developing the provincial gender-based violence action plan taken from the Eastern Cape to the Office of the Premier. There was something very interesting with the Eastern Cape. They also had a shelter for men. That also acknowledged that it's not only a specific gender that is susceptible to gender-based violence, but there are other genders that are also susceptible to that. So they also had a shelter that is specifically for men. The Eastern Cape had advised that I think this one I can skip because it's about the premier. So what they did here was to establish an additional shelter for men, which was something that we acknowledged as CGE. However, what remains a concern is the number of shelters that are there in the Eastern Cape. We need to increase because we know that Eastern Cape is one of those provinces that experience a lot of gender-based violence on a monthly basis. So the current number of shelters in the province are inadequate, and it becomes imperative that in our planning, the Eastern Cape Department considers the increase of shelters in that regard. When it comes to Mpumalanga Department of Social Development, Mpumalanga also appeared before us on the 2nd of December 2020. Subsequent to the appearance and the hearing, the Commission made the following findings and recommendations: that we should have standard operating procedures, policies for admissions in Mpumalanga shelters, information per shelter for the past three financial years in terms of bed capacity per month, number of family rooms per substation, accessibility for persons with disability, and number of male and female children admitted in shelters, and the code of conduct in shelters and sexual harassment policy. Now, the basis of us having made this recommendation was that there appeared to be a subjective approach that is used for admitting persons in the shelters. So there was no clear direction to say, what is it that you must comply with and what is it that you must check as a person who's working at the shelter. So we recommended that the SOPs, they need to be developed, and there must be clear directives in terms of processes that may be followed. One of the challenges that came during the course of the investigation was that some of the shelters in Mpumalanga could not admit mothers who had children who were over the age of 16. And it was very much clear around that. So it created a challenge because a girl, you can be a mother and come with a girl who's in the age of 17, that was not a problem. So the challenge was, what brings about the distinction between a boy child and a girl child when it comes to the admission in that regard? So we probed that, and that is why you see the recommendation number two that talks to male and female children in that regard, because we wanted to deal with the discrimination. But the issue of the age, it goes even in other provinces also, wherein if you are a mother and you're having a 16-year-old boy, you cannot be admitted at that shelter. And the justification, in our view, could not pass the constitutional muster. It was unjustified in that regard. Number five is the skills programs that are offered in the shelters in Mpumalanga, and the proof of accreditation. So this talks to what I was saying in my opening remarks, that we had critical skills programs that are there in the shelters. However, they were not accredited. And so when we're engaging in Mpumalanga at the time, we said we wanted you to prove that some of the skills programs that you are saying you have are actually accredited. And we also wanted to have an understanding regarding the processes that were followed in allocating funds to unregistered GRIP Mkhondo shelter. We also wanted a detailed report as to why the National Shelter Movement received the second largest funding in the first financial year. So because this was now becoming a challenge where in some instances these low amounts that are allocated to specific shelters, but there are those that always receive a lump sum, a huge monies in that regard. So we wanted to know the scientific reasons and basis of the distinction between one shelter to another, especially when we look at the fact that they cater the same persons under the same circumstances and provide similar services in that regard. In fact, when we were probing Mpumalanga, we did find that there was a shelter that was actually not existing. It was highlighted as a shelter that was funded, but further probing found that that shelter did not exist in that regard. So we've asked the reasons why there was no consumer price index related to the increase from 2018-2019 financial year leading to 2019-2020 for the following shelters. So if you look at GRIP, you look at GRACE, you look at Calcutta Shelter, Mahala, and others. So from 2018-2019, the funds were so consistent and there was no change whatsoever. Now, our concern was that, but because there is a consumer price index, why is there no change? But then one specific first shelter seemed to be getting a lot of funds from the DSD. So those are the things that we're a bit concerned about. And then we had to intervene and get proper clarity as to the reasons that were provided then. So it talks to the inconsistent funding that is on slide 29. There was nothing to support the notion that assessments were done before funds. In this regard, Mpumalanga DSD reported that the funds formed by the business proposals, the shelter's needs, the shelter bed and capacity, and the programs offered by that shelter. During the monitoring period, the commission inquired about the security. Perhaps maybe before I go to this aspect. So on this one, when it comes to bed capacity during the COVID-19 period, we received a number of complaints around Mpumalanga, particularly women who were not admitted into shelters because the viewpoint was that there were no sufficient beds to accommodate these women. So this is one province that gave us a problem during the COVID-19 lockdown period. Now, in as far as security, something that I violated in the opening, the inquiry prompted the Mpumalanga DSD to assess each shelter's security needs and devise a plan to improve security at the shelters to create a safe environment for GBV victims and survivors. Upon follow-up, Mpumalanga DSD submitted to the commission that it took the relevant steps in line with its plan of action to ensure that security was improved at the shelters. Mpumalanga DSD in the preceding report reported that it has 9 shelters accredited with the accredited for human trafficking victims. In recent progress regarding the accreditation, Mpumalanga DSD advised that it has successfully assisted 2 shelters to obtain accreditations for human trafficking victims, and it is assisting 1 shelter with the compliance as well. So the issue of human trafficking, of course, we know it's quite problematic also in the Mpumalanga province as well. Mpumalanga DSD submitted to the commission that human trafficking cases were much lower in the province between 2018 and the financial year 2021-2022 period. In this financial year, that was 2022-2023, Mpumalanga has received a higher number of cases in comparison of to 2021, 2022, 2019, 2020. So we now see this trend of human trafficking cases increasing in the province. And I must also say here, Chairperson, that one of the things that we have observed as the CG in as far as these cases are concerned, we have a number of cases that are not finalized in the province, primarily because the accused persons are nowhere to be found. Either they are no longer in the country or they have went into the neighboring countries and we're not able to trace them. So this is an area that is quite problematic because these cases are in the system for more than 2 years and not being finalized. Some of these cases are linked to the human trafficking matters that I'm presenting about. So it's something that we are keeping, we're keeping a close eye on as an institution, but we are saying that there needs to be a process that is taken in the province to curb the increase of human trafficking. One of the things that we've agreed with the provincial manager was that we need to have a high stakeholder engagement with the South African Police Service as well to understand how we can deal with these cases that are not finalized in the provinces because people have evaded the criminal justice system by entering other provinces and other countries. In terms of the standardized policy on the remuneration of social workers and social auxiliary workers in shelters, in accordance with the commission's recommendation, the department developed a policy to comply with the recommendation. But this policy is as a result of the intervention from the national DSD. The issue of service level agreements shared with the commission reflect a consistent increase in the funding advanced to shelters, demonstrating that the department considers increasing, but that it did not justify why in those other shelters for 2018 to 2021, 2022, there hasn't been an increase and justification was not provided in that regard. The commission noted that the name change of the Amazing Grace Shelter to Utandiwe Children's Home and is satisfied that the MPDSD gave sound reasons for the name change. So the thing is, Chairperson, was that this Amazing Grace Shelter, we went to inspect and we actually found that it was not there. And when we contacted, the phones just rang unanswered and so forth. So it became a problem when the DSD submitted this to say it's one of the shelters that are there in the province. Yes, on the ground, we could not find it. But then we got the explanation that this has subsequently changed to a different home, rather different name that dealt with children's home. So that is the explanation that we were able to get. What does that say, Chairperson? It says that, Chairperson, answering your first question, we were literally on the ground to inspect these infrastructures. We were not relying on any other person to go and check in Mpumalanga, Kanyamazane, whatever the case may be. We were there and we satisfied ourselves this was not there. So in our engagement with DSD, we were able to put some of this thing forward to say you are misleading the commission, only to find that they had not amended the name change accordingly. So in as far as the recommendations, we commended the department in Mpumalanga for on closely monitoring the Umjindi Victim and Empowerment Center, which is situated close to the police station and caters for, amongst others, for Kwamashayana Farm and Barberton, which has a statistically high number of GBV and sexual offenses. The VP offers first response services to GBV and sexual offences victims, such as trauma counselling, aftercare, and overnight services, which is something that we were quite happy about. We have the department submitted to the commission that it is no longer funding this Shaisani Centre of Hope because it's relocated to a shopping centre complex, which upon assessment, the DSD discovered that it was not a safe location for a shelter. Remember, one of the things that we want to avoid is shelters to be easily accessible to perpetrators and or potential perpetrators. So if you're going to move to a shopping complex, it defeats the purpose over and above that. In relation to the shelter in Bad Plus, which will service GBV victims, the MPDSD submitted a schedule depicting that repairs to the building were rescheduled to commence in October 2022 and to be completed in June 2023. The Commission deems it necessary that stakeholders take all necessary steps to ensure that the shelter is fully equipped, functional, on and on schedule, as the delay is prejudicial to victims who already benefit from the establishment. In as far as Northwest is concerned, it must be noted that the Northwest DSD did not submit all the required information before and during the investigative hearing. As a result, the following findings were made: that Northwest had not properly advised the CGE on what informs the annual decreases in various shelters. The Northwest availed funding to shelters late, which affected the implementation of projects and programs in shelters. The Northwest DSD did not submit all the required information before and during the investigative hearing to enable us to make an informed decision regarding the state of shelters in the province. The findings captured in the Commission's 2015 report remains applicable to the Northwest DSD. An overview of the findings by the Commission in this report again indicated a lack of clarity between the victim's charter the VEP, as well as the VEP. The Northwest DSD had not developed a proper funding model to protect the victims of crime. As a result, some shelters had closed or they are not receiving funding at all. The Commission accordingly made the following recommendation. It recommended that the cost center model and the equitable share be studied in detail to ascertain whether it works fairly for all the shelters. The Northwest DSD must provide a plan with proper timeframes on how late payment of funding will be addressed so that the shelters and survivors are not adversely affected by this. One of the things that came out during the hearing was, I think the accounting officer did come, but they were not prepared to engage the commission on the issues that we were raising. And we had to ask them to leave and come back with a proper report to respond to the issue of late payments as well. The department advised that in consultation with stakeholders, they facilitated the development of a draft that integrated Northwest Provincial Violence and Feminist Response Plan. Response Plan is Northwest Violence 2030. This plan guides stakeholders on the provision of services. The Northwest DSD also advised that the NGO that provide victim empowerment services apply for funding in line with the PFMA and other relevant legislation regulating payments to entities and non-profit organizations. As a result, the Northwest DSD developed a funding plan for NPOs providing services to VEPs. The following are considered when allocating funding to NPOs: program mandate, availability of budget, compliance with program guidelines, as well as a compliance checklist. The Commission notes that the Northwest Province had two shelters in the province. One is Dr. Ruth Siromuzi, Mompati District, Kuseleka One Stop Center, and the Grace Help Center. No information was provided on the funding of these shelters for the financial year 2022-2023, which raises concern to the Commission about whether the shelters are still operational. Prior to the publication of the report, the Commission sought clarity from the head of department, who failed and or neglected to give clarity to the Commission. According to the progress report, the report that was given, there is an increase in the annual funding advance to NPOs, including crisis centers, rendering victim empowerment services as well. The Commission commends the Northwest Department on the stance, which lessened the impact of the financial strain that comes with the constant increase in living costs. The Commission recommended that the Northwest Department of Social Development advise how the challenge of late payment will be addressed so that it dies. In its implementation report, the department advised that challenges with late payments due to non-compliance by organizations. The following challenges were noted: non-compliance with central supply database requirements, inconsistent address of business and bank details, incomplete sign-off of business plans, negative audit outcomes, financial mismanagement, outstanding narrative reports in terms of the NPO Act 71 of 1997. In relation to the recommendation of the costing model, the Northwest DSD reported that it is developing a costing model for funding victim empowerment organizations. The model is anticipated to be finalized during 2022-2023 financial year. The Northwest Department standardized stipends for NPOs, volunteers, and managers during the financial year 2022-2023. The Northwest Department further conducted visits to monitor compliance and advised that it created a cost center formula. However, the Northwest DSD fully on whether shelters operate with standard operating procedure or not. It did not find the equitable share formula and the costing model to establish to what extent it can be improved. The province did not fully comply with the Commission's recommendations on the reasons for the reduction in funding of the NPOs. The Northwest Department advised that I think this is a repeat, apologies. So we are now on the Gauteng Department of Social Development. The Gauteng Department of Social Development is one of those that appeared before us on the 2nd of December 2019 to also account on their role as a department in as far as shelters are concerned. And the commission found the following: inconsistency regarding the existing funding model and the costing model used by the Gauteng Department of Social Development, which affected consistency of budget allocation. The lack of criteria and gender sensitive guidelines in respect of the admission of non-standard children. The staff were not offered sensitization workshops. The department, we recommended, should pay special attention to the subsidy budget as it pertains to women and children in shelters. The following recommendations were made as well: that the department was to ensure consistency with the funding model and the costing model, and it was properly to define the criteria for admission of children who did not meet the standard criterion. The department was to ensure that its guidelines are gender sensitive as well. The department was to provide sensitization training for staff members as well, and was to review its subsidy budget for children and children in shelters as soon as the report was released. Okay. So this department was one of those when it came to the admission of children over the age of 16 also had a problem. To say a boy child over the age of 16 or at the age of 16 should not be admitted at the facility as well. During the 2020-2021 financial year, the department reviewed the funding model and budget allocation to ensure consistency. As a result, the department provided a funding model, but the budget allocation was inconsistent and shelters were not equally funded. The department developed a budget allocation model in April 2021. The department revised admission requirements for children who did not meet the standard criteria. And the department's guidelines should be further reviewed to ensure they were gender sensitive. Gauteng has 22 shelters, but only two have family units that can accommodate children. The shelters have their own criterion for accommodating children, boys over the age of 12. Regarding this finding, the department reported that it did not have shelters that were under its management. Furthermore, there are currently 21 shelters in Gauteng, and 20 of the 21 are managed by an NPO, and one is managed by the Department of Community and Safety. Further, the Department of Social Development, in discussion with shelters, identified with sufficient space in their properties to admit boys under the age of 18. The structure of most shelters is such that beneficiaries share bedrooms as well as bathroom facilities. Five shelters were identified and funded to modify the space and additional structures to accommodate families with boys under the age of 18. In light of the second recommendation, the department was asked to develop its staff and those NPOs. Training and awareness, of course, became critical when it comes to LGBTI matters. The acceptance of LGBTI persons in DSD was based on perception and not face value. And there are few to no LGBTI persons in shelter services in many provinces. In its report to the commission, the department advised that shelters in Gauteng are admitting persons with disability. Upon admission of a visually impaired victim to shelters, they would look with the association, they will work with the Association of the Blind for guidance and orientation to their staff and ensure a smooth integration into the shelter. The shelters face challenges regarding sign language, but DEFSA and the internal disability unit are actively assisting in this regard. due to the lack of medical personnel in Gauteng shelters, no psychiatrists and psychologists in Gauteng shelters, the victims with profound mental disabilities are not admitted. However, the department funds NPOs that offer services to persons with multiple physical and profound mental disabilities. Gauteng Shelter have admitted persons from the LGBTI and they without any challenges. The placement of trans women remains a challenge though. Shelters with additional family rooms are also limited in the province. Implementation of the recommendations regarding LGBTI persons is especially crucial. Training would assist the shelter care workers in understanding that domestic violence and IPV affect many people and not just specific group of couples. So they must look at, irrespective of your sexual orientation, that you are susceptible to gender-based violence. So the challenge that we've seen is that it was more subjective. If you identify as a trans, you identify as lesbian, you are likely not to be admitted because of those challenges. Additionally, it is common for gay men to be excluded from shelters, as I've indicated, regardless of their victim status. Implementation assists in the eradication of the discrimination of LGBTI persons in the shelters. In respect of the costing model, emphasis should be placed on the importance of a comprehensive and consistent costing model. Despite the judgment that we've made reference to, that advises on proper costing model, there's still non-compliance in that regard. There must be a consistent funding model as well as proper costing model. The necessity of this model is to adequately address contextual realities faced by shelters and the need of domestic violence victims. Moreover, these models must also be adequate when providing services for children. With regard to the Limpopo Department of Social Development, it also appeared before the Commission in December 2019, and we have made the following observations and recommendations: that the department did not have adequate shelters to deliver to the services of survivors in the province. There were only two shelters in the Limpopo province serving a population of about 5 million at the time. And we further said the sexual harassment policy needs to be adopted by the province. The department was to speed up the process of accrediting skills development programs, to finalize the policy, and to submit clear plans to establish more shelters in the province, and to raise and to address the issue of accreditation. Now, the department informed the commission that in as far as the accreditation is concerned, they have engaged the CEDAS, and the CEDAS unfortunately indicated that they do not provide for such. So they need to engage with the local TVET colleges so that the colleges themselves must be accredited for them to offer the accredited programs for skills development as well. And we've therefore recommended that an MOU must be entered into explore with those TVET colleges so that we can deal with the accreditation of programs with the shelters. The department confirmed a national focus on establishing partnership with CITAS to improve skills development program, and further the victim empowerment programs and social crime prevention programs were confirmed for rollout in three provinces, including Limpopo. The department identified seven CITAS at the time for engagement of possible programs, though they were non-accredited. The commission recommended that the Limpopo Department of Social Development work on a skills development program, as I've indicated. The goal was to prevent victims in abusive relationships from being dependent on perpetrators. The department stated that they could not comply with the recommendation of establishing new shelters particularly because of the inadequate budget that they had. They have partnered with the Limpopo Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to identify unused state properties. In progress reported, 5 buildings were identified in Limpopo, and they were expected to be occupied from March 2022 and March 2023. Currently, there is no indication from Limpopo DSD that the intended construction has started and will start timeously. Therefore, the Limpopo Department of Social Development still does not have enough shelter to cater for its population. With regards to KwaZulu-Natal, we have recommended that the Dundee Crisis Center must move the recycling business together with the feeding scheme to another site, as both businesses cause a huge threat to the shelter. The House of Hope shelter should prioritize erecting a proper fence before it is allowed to continue with its services because of safety concerns. In relation to Dundee Crisis Center, the KZN DSD provided the Commission with information that there has been full compliance. The Commission commends the KZN DSD in ensuring that there is compliance with the recommendation in this regard, as it has the effect of protecting victims and or survivors of gender-based violence from risk of re-victimization. Regarding the Commission's recommendation that the House of Hope should prioritize erecting a proper fence before it is allowed to continue with its services, the information received from the department was that a fence was erected and the overall security at the shelter was improved. Additionally, renovations were effected to improve the standard of the shelter. The Commission observed during the stakeholder engagement that the department in KZN has established a partnership with the SAB, in terms of which the SAB funds the refurbishment and the finishing of new shelters once the Department of Public Works has facilitated the process of availing properties to the identified shelters. Now, with regards to the National Department of Social Development, we have observed and made the following findings: that the department was to provide a draft sector funding policy, and the department was to finish the commission with a finalized approved policy on or before the 31st of March 2020. The department was to identify 3 existing shelters to pilot the inclusion of the LGBTI persons. The wording was to be refined in order to be inclusive and non-discriminatory. Once the policy was established, the department was to provide the commission with the intersectoral shelter policy for victims of crime and violence. The national department was to provide the draft sector funding policy and was to finish the commission with a finalized approved policy by the 31st March 2020. The department was to provide information on the rear pillar safe house in the Free State, and it was to provide more information with rear pillar safe house in the Free State province and the particulars of the applicants of the organization. Furthermore, the department was to provide information relating to funding allocation, whether funded by NDSD or special funding. The national department was to implement various funding models for victim empowerment programs and the budget percentage in respect of the Nawungo judgment. The department was to furnish information relating to the standardization of the minimum wage across the shelters. The department was to try funding through private companies and other relevant donors. The department was to provide the commission with a draft training and development framework. In compliance with the recommendations, particularly on the sector funding policy, the DSD did indeed submit the intersectoral shelter policy for victims of crime and violence and confirmed the adoption and the implementation of the sector funding policy. The Commission recommended that the policy be finalized, approved and submitted to the Commission on or before the 31st of March 2022. In terms of the progress reported over the years by the NDSD. The policy aims to facilitate and enable the provision of a comprehensive spectrum of services to all those seeking shelter from crime to violence. The Commission recommended that the department must identify three existing shelters to pilot an inclusive and non-discriminatory shelters to accommodate the LGBTI person. In line with this recommendation, the department reported that in Chapter 5 of the intersectoral shelter policy for victims of crime and violence, the department is addressing the issue of admission and referral to shelters for victims from the LGBTI persons. The department did not provide the Commission with the requested information, particularly the rear pillar, safe house particulars, and the person responsible for it. The failure by the NDSD to provide such information prevents the Commission from determining whether the rear pillar safe house is classified as a private or a public shelter funded by NDSD or not. The NDSD was to implement various funding models for victim empowerment programs and the budget percentage in respect of the Nabongo judgment. There is a plan, implementation and a realization plan that has been developed. The Commission submits that the Nabongo judgment was partially complied as a funding policy and strategy is in place. The Commission acknowledged that the National Department furnished the Commission with a draft victim empowerment training and development plan. The purpose of the draft victim empowerment training and development plan is to harmonize the intersectoral strategy plan, raise the collaboration, and enhance the government's intersectoral training programs. The delay in the finalization of the victim empowerment training and development framework plan connotes that intersectoral stakeholders continue to operate without a guideline that can be used to implement the VEP training. In conclusion, the Commission commends the stakeholders on the strides taken in complying with the Commission's recommendation. Complying with the Commission's recommendations demonstrate the commitment towards realizing the six pillars in the NSP on gender-based violence and femicide. The Commission acknowledges that following its initial findings and recommendation, the Minister of Social Development announced in her budget speech that 50 million was allocated for the criminal assets and recovery account to support shelters. The establishment of new shelters in the country since the initial report of the Commission confirms that the key role players willingly stand up in the fight against gender-based violence and femicide. What I need to, however, also just indicate, Chairperson, is that the... Yes, the intersectoral policy that has been developed by the department, it will broadly address the challenge that we have seen since 2018-2019, because it talks about how we are going to harmonize the inadequate or the inconsistent funding from one province to another. So once the process of implementing that policy commences, we do believe that the inadequate funding of shelters would be a thing of the past, but there would be consistent funding throughout the shelters. And it's for the CGE to monitor the implementation of that policy. That is, Chairperson and honorable members, the presentation in as far as the shelter reports 2021-2022 financial year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I don't know whether you are acting, you're still acting, or you've been appointed. I'm not sure which is which.
I'm still the acting accounting officer, Chairperson. Thank you.
Have they advertised that post?
Yes, they did, Chairperson. Yes.
Let me come in because he was one of the candidates. Yes, the post was advertised. It was closed. Shortlisting happened. After shortlisting happened, interviews also happened. And we have shortlisted three candidates and are awaiting a psychometric assessment to happen. There's three candidates. Two of them are going tomorrow, and one is going on the 1st. And after the reports come back to us and we see what the psychometric results say, then we will take it to plenary for the recommendation of the candidate.
Oh, okay. They must not say I'm influencing you. I'm not influencing you. I was asked because I don't want to call him wrongly. By saying a CEO or whatever. So that's why I'm asking. Okay. First of all, let's thank and welcome your report on the work that you have done so far as CGE. But my main concerns are the following. That remember some of the investigations that you have done, they go back to 2019, 2020, and 2021, and that we are in 2024. If I may ask, what is your plan regarding shelters generally? With the work that you have done so far, what is the progress? What progress is made to date? Because remember, when you commission, you do investigations, you are not just doing investigations for fun. You do investigations, you make recommendations, and those recommendations must be implemented by both spheres of government, whether it's provincial or it's national government. So what is the plan? What is the progress? And who are the leading commissioners in terms of shelters? Who are the commissioners who are delegated to deal with this shelters? Or whether each and every commissioner that is deployed in provinces is responsible for them, or there are specific commissioners that are delegated to focus specifically to shelters. I think in some of your reports, some of the things that you just presented, it's part of our findings. When we did our oversight visits to some of these provinces. Looking at what you just presented now, it's not worth, you are not getting information and so forth. In fact, it's a true reflection of also what when we're doing our oversight visits. I know in one of the blind, I think it's a blind, deaf and blind, school, it's a boarding school. There was a report that was done by Human Rights Commission. And based on that report, as the portfolio committee, after reading the report, we also invited Human Rights Commission to come and present their report, their findings to the committee. Since we are dealing with issues of persons with disabilities. And we went to Northwest to do our own oversight visit. And looking at what you are presenting today, it's typical of them. But we can't say the information was not coming up when you wanted information from them. Isn't it that if they can't give you information, there must be consequences for that? You can't just keep quiet. You make recommendations. They don't comply. They don't even implement your recommendations, whether it's the Department of Social Development or whatever. But something needs to be done. But also, have you elevated all those issues to the National Department of Social Development? In some instances, even Department of Health, you know, when we were doing our oversight visit to Mpumalanga, we were able to identify things that were supposed to be addressed with immediate effect. And I think when we left Mpumalanga, some of those things were sorted. Because what we did, we do as the portfolio committee, we are raising issues and we call everyone to come and account right on spot. Because we don't want to be like broken reports, writing reports, and people don't take your recommendations seriously. So if you can share with us what is done, who was assigned to make follow-up on the issues, on the findings that you have made your recommendations to, whether it's Northwest, Gauteng, and Western Cape, and Eastern, in fact, all provinces. Because I think that is very much important. Yeah, and maybe you if you can also share with us, what is your working relationship with the Minister of Social Development nationally after this investigation that you have done as DGE? To be having meetings for updates on things in ensuring that NSP is fully implemented by all role-playing at departments. The issue of shelters is very critical. I think it's true that in some of the provinces, you don't even understand or get a sense of whether there is a shelter or there's no shelter. And whether those shelters that are there are in good state for them to be called shelters. And in some instances, the Thuthuzela centers, you know, things that we discovered ourselves that you were not in a good state. In fact, where there's supposed to be privacy for victims, there was none. I'm not sure with regard to the issue of children who are 16 years and above, especially boys, what exactly as a commission, as an institution, have you recommended to Department of Social Development? So that this should be uniform in all provinces rather than focusing in one province. It should be something that the Department of Social Development is taking up and trying to resolve. Just give a guide on what provinces should do. I think these are some of the concerns that I'm having as I have read your report and listening to what you are presenting. But let me also take help from honorable members.
Okay.
Honorable members, here's the report. Can I take hands? Honorable Sheriff, Honorable Mamkaula, so amanye ma member angiziboni izandla
the hand
niphakamisile
raise up your hand
mina ngiphakamisa I'm covered
Thembani awuphakamisa
did you not have your hand
Opperman is the head up? Okay, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to honorable members and the CGE. Chair, a lot of my concerns are around the similar concerns to yourself. It's always very concerning to see where departments are not taking the CGE's recommendations and implementing them. And I want to know what do you have to sort of try and combat that to make sure that it doesn't impede the work that you are mandated to do as CGE. The second question is around the members of the LGBTIQA plus community. And I think this is a very, very important issue. You know, we've been speaking about it for the whole term. Literally, you know, when we put it into perspective, the term is coming to an end 5 years. And 5 years in Parliament, we have been calling for an LGBTIQA plus shelter. There isn't even one. And the reality is that even It doesn't just take a couple of training sensitization sessions. That is very helpful. But it also needs for the CGE to keep going back there and keep making sure that are these programs working? Is it giving the objectives and the outcomes that the recommendation sought it to give? And it's very problematic for me, you know, when you, a member of the LGBT, go to a shelter and they're treated so badly. They treat us so badly that they would rather stay on the streets than go there. It's unacceptable. And I feel like the CGE, because it's a gender issue, needs to maybe take this up and hold government accountable and make sure that, you know, members of the LGBT are being protected and that their safety is a priority. So I'd like to get feedback from the CGE on what your plans are to ensure that that happens. I did read in the Gauteng recommendations, you spoke about ensuring that shelters, that there are more shelters that cater to having kids and family, especially boys over the age of 12. This is a massive, massive problem. I've dealt with GBV cases for the last 5 years, and this has one of been the most consistent problems that women face, that they run, they have to leave their homes. They can't leave their homes by themselves. They have to take their children, their son, their boy child happens to be 13, 14 years old. What happens? He's just needs to be left or given to a family member. It's not okay. And more needs to happen. And so what is the progress on this? Because from what I read, Gauteng then said, okay, we'll do five, we'll budget for five, we'll do plans for five. Have you gone back and checked? Is it functional? Is it working? What is the progress? Chair, there is one more. I didn't see information around, and maybe this is something to think about, because I've also come across cases where we have a drug addict, a woman who is addicted to drugs, who is being abused by her boyfriend at home and tries to run away but will not be taken in to any shelter because she has a substance abuse problem. And it's sort of sent to rehab, but we know that our rehab facilities are not well-resourced, they're not well-capacitated. I remember traveling to one of the provinces and the rehab was closing because they just simply could not get funding. So, you know, the substance abuse programs are not necessarily the right place or immediately from an abusive home to a facility that is under-resourced and under-capacitated might not assist the victim, and it might in fact have second-degree trauma, because not only is she struggling with the substance addiction, she's struggling with gender-based violence, and you know that that's physical, mental, emotional. I mean, we can speak about it all day. So I just wanted to understand, has the CGE thought about this? Has the CGE, you know, looked at research and investigated into this a little bit further? Chair, I'll leave that for now, but thank you for the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheriff.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Angazi Mangeni.
I don't know whether I should come in.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, all honorable members and
and the honorable members from the CGE. Firstly, I should say I've also said about people who lost their lives coming from the manifesto in the ANC manifesto. I say the families, condolences to the families, and also the one from Gauteng who also had breathing problems. Others are from Ward 77 in Umlazi and Chatsworth. That one went to the beach and he actually drowned. They're still looking for him. I say to all the families, and also thank you for the words of condolence, Chair. It is known that we will all pass away. We don't know how. We should just pray for life and say God be with us. Thank you, Chair. Let me now come into the presentation of the acting, the investigator that we have in front of us. Chairperson, let me put it clearly. I'm thankful when I listen to him speak, even though I have a bit of a problem. That he did do this, what has actually happened to show that these people that are not well kept, let's just say in the Northwest, which refuse to give out information. I would like to know what action is going to be taken against them, because at the end, nobody should work on their own. They should work and report. We should know each and everything, because if we are speaking about shelters, Chair, we are speaking about something that is very important. We have seen here children being raped at home by family members. It could be cousins, it could be fathers. Those children in the have a place where they can stay, so that they do not suffer more when they see the perpetrators. Another thing, Chair, whilst on shelters, Chairperson and the committee, you have been able to go to KZN and saw the people who were suffering from the effects of the floods who needed shelters. In the end, they were taken and put somewhere. I would like to know from the Honorable Investigating Member, do they account for such people, how they are living? Are they safe or are they still where they are kept? And also how long they are to be kept there? Because if we speak about the places that they are put in, still they are living in a place with families, in a place that is not suitable for such a setup. If we go on to the funding issue, people who deal with the funding in terms of people living with disabled persons and abused children. With your permission, Chair, allow me to say I dispute the fact that they do not get the money because they would have not given their details. Like in KZN and Richmond, they were complaining about that they were not being paid. They would go to say we don't have food, even nappies or even milk for the children. They would be told there was no money. Some other racial groups are better because there are some organizations that whilst they're still awaiting on government funding, they can go to these organizations and get maybe food parcels just to sustain themselves. Then I will come back to the shelters, Chair, with your permission. The shelters are not enough, Chair. I also heard him stating that we are short of shelters. Currently, in this year, last month, I had a case of a gentleman who is a teacher. Those who listen to Izulumza know about this. I was there. We are not going to give his name because there were people who were gambling. He had actually taken the decision to take his own life. By God's hand, I was able to reach him, and I begged him, and then we went to social development, and then he was told to go to Pixigli Aseme Hospital because there's a Thuthuzela care center. We can speak about the Thuthuzela. There's nothing there. There are no people there. There's just a ward. Currently, that gentleman was supposed to be given a shelter after being discharged. The shelters for males are non-existent. They are quite short. And I come back to the Western Cape. I agree with you, Honorable Member, that in the Western Cape there are big problems. The apartheid in this area, the Western Cape still has apartheid, and you also don't follow up on it. I don't know what stops you from doing so. Here in the Western Cape, there is a home called Kukuletu. It's for elderly people. There was an elderly lady who was suffering, living in a house. Her children taking money, lock her in the house, and I was called about, I did report about this at some point. She couldn't find a place to stay while they said they did not have any beds and the applications were not working correctly. We had taken social development through. We were only assisted by another shelter of white people that actually accepted it. I'm trying to explain that the things that we speak about here, we must find reports that you went to these places and then you found how the shelters are treating the people who were victims of the flood, how long are they going to stay? Where are they now currently? And then if we continue, Here in the Western Cape, or in the Eastern Cape, actually. My honorable member, your presentation was very nice, and it talks to us. It was quite long. We have a problem in the Western Cape, Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape, the documentation and everything is fine, but if I were to take you right now and go there, you'd cry. You might take about 2 months, maybe because you are a man. It might be better because you say men don't cry. There's a gentleman there who I then sent to the DG, this old person who cannot go. They crawl on their knees. The place he lives in, it is a problematic place even when he has to go relieve himself. But there is nothing to assist him in any regard. The shelters, there are a problem. Those that are there, they are just written. People open them because they are looking for money, but they do not do the jobs that they actually say they will do. The grandmother in the Eastern Cape, especially if you are dark in complexion and you are old, they get killed and they are called witches. Our chair will know this as she was nursed professionally. If an elderly woman gets old, they somehow lose their minds. You may see them in the yard naked, you may see them walking aimlessly, but in the Eastern Cape, these grandmothers are murdered. I actually saw one being burnt. She was burnt inside the house when she tried to run. They put a tie on her and burnt her. We didn't hear that. When you get there, what do you say to those people? They show you the shelters. To send you because of a certain shelter, you cry. If you see the conditions people live in, the issue of shelters, Chairperson, I was hoping that if we could go back to Parliament and we make this committee again, we should make sure that we go to these places, have these places, have these people arrested. People say they have shelters, but the shelters are not doing anything because in the end, we as the portfolio committee, we intend to see this committee working. All our committees or the committees under us should be functioning. I should come to the issue of skills. The issue of skills is just a theory. Why do I say it's a theory? Because we speak about them. Because even within the disabled community, they should be taken and trained. Other people are living with disabilities, but God, when I grew up, they say God gives you some and not everything. I do not see skills here. That's why you end up having women being raped by men on because the money that they get for grants is not enough for them to do whatever their needs are. Whereas if they had skills, they would be able to be independent. Then they also don't get jobs. They don't get hired because where they are supposed to be employed or hired, they're told that their offices are not friendly towards them. Those are some of the things that I want to fight for, Chairperson. Another thing, Chairperson, you see the shelters are exactly the same as the shortage of high schools, shortage of universities. The report of 2021-2022, it's very nice when you listen to it, but it is painful. The issue of Dundee and the criminality there, I come from KZN personally, I do not want to lie. I would also wish personally that I'm not from there because there's a lot of criminal activity because even social development itself, when you see that there's a problem, they should go and deal with it. They would tell you, Mam Kaulo, as you see, we do not have cars, we don't have phones, our places are broken into. I think the government must give money to the people of shelters, enough money to the owners of shelters so that they be able to see themselves protected, and those people can then uplift themselves. KZN is full of crime. Sometimes they even take the laptops. They forget that they might end up being disabled and need social workers. These are the problems we face, Chair. What I can say to the Honourable Member that when we speak about this presentation, I would request that sometimes, or even now, that they should tell us that the cases that have been lodged through the CGE that they found there, how far are such cases? There's another one, local in Ward 54, who was being raped by the neighbor, and the mother did not want the story to come out. I took CGE and went there, and we fixed such cases, but I have never heard of the outcomes. That child is still living school at the alternate address, and they have ended up being disabled now. Another case was in Phoenix Unit 20, where a family has been robbed. They've been living there for 23 years. Now they've been given an order by the High Court that they should vacate. High courts as well have problems. Now, I wanted to know that all the cases that were reported, what's the status? Because they go and look at them, but arrested, or what has happened, or is it just a tick box exercise? Lastly, Chairperson, my beautiful Chairperson, you see, the issue of the floods and the people who were affected by that, I will request the presenter to tell us about the people who had been affected by the floods multiple times. What does the law say? Does it say if you are put in a shelter or in those tin houses and you live in that place with your children, mother and father and the children all in the same place, how long should they stay in the
queue? Thank you, Honorable Kabula. You can respond. CGE.
Ma?
Yabo?
My hand was up.
No. Okay, ma. Sorry for that. I bought a loud screen.
See it on the
screen. Thank you. Thank you, ma. Thank you for the comprehensive report and a very detailed report. Mine is a minor concern, but it's a concern. One, I didn't heard much about KZN. What else? KZN, as Mark Kaula has said, have so many cases. The first one, which is a very hurting one, is that one of the Phoenix floods. Those people are still living in the halls. But there are families there, there are children, there are everything, but they are still living there. I didn't hear CTE investigator saying something about that, but it is a very one what I must going to heard from them. Yes, there is an oversight they have done, and if they done and they do, is they they have training programs of which they, if they are just done with the KZN, and then give them training program, and so that they can came and overlook the implementation and specialize that in that program. Mark Kaula was talking about the skills. Even those one who build these shelters, they don't have skills. Mm. They don't have, they just look about money. Mm. They just look about money. They don't have skills. But what skills did they have? What skills did you give as a CTE so that they can help our people down there? Because our people are just helpless because no one going to help them. No one going to give them the skills how to do things. Now I heard you said some of them, they don't have paid because they did not fill the forms correctly. Where did they get that skills of filling the forms? Because what they came to their minds is to build a house so that they can accommodate this. Somebody must come and help them how to fill those forms in order to mitigate the DSD. Even the DSD did not go an extra mile to our people down there, because there will be no one who said I didn't get money just because incomplete forms, if the DSD did their work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Ma. CGE, you can respond.
CEO, you can respond to the other. I'll just deal with the issue of shelters in KZN. At where I have left off some of the facts, because this happened during the time when Commissioner Mazibuko was assigned to KZN, deployed in the KZN, and I know she did.
Just a bit, Chair. Just a bit. I'm not leaving the house. There's an issue that before. I'm just reminded by Honorable Dangwa. If we were to go now to Olundi, can you hear me? If by the time you come back there, you'd be very, very sad. There are people who are crippled. There is a gentleman or an older man who says he was able to do things for himself, build houses. Today, as I speak to you, if his mother is not there, his daughter has to wipe his bottom. One says that they have a place where they actually say that, and being attacked by animals. How long? We, even if they come back, must take out a team and they must go see the pain we see with our people. People want to till their lands, they can't do so. Why? What's the problem? They do not have their place. CGE, we must not, sometimes we must not, because we are talking about
our lives. Chairperson?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to deal with the issue of shelters for the people who had been relocated as a result of the floods in KZN. We have been monitoring it closely to a point where some of the people, we are aware that they have actually gone back after the government gave them materials to go and rebuild their homes. However, there are some who are still in the shelter and have not been relocated. And there are some, a third tranche that was relocated to a block of flats on Point Road in Durban CBD. But this group is experiencing a lot of problems in the sense that the people who were allocated the flats were mainly women and girls. So a lot of those women had to leave and go there and leave their children at the dilapidated place for two reasons. They were not allowed there, but the other thing was that they had to watch over the patch of land that they had been occupying before the flood, because people were anxious that if they leave, when they come back, they will find that somebody has built a house or a shack on where they were. So there are men and young men in particular who are living out in that dilapidated place, almost like a jungle, because they're scared to lose out on the place that they had allocated for themselves or that had been formally allocated by the municipality. And these men and kids can only visit their relatives and spouses at Point Road in Durban. They're not allowed to stay there because the argument is you are not registered here as a resident. So this is during the day. Not the CGE has been liaising with the mentality. In fact, some of the children who were moved to Point Road were found that they are far from where they went to school. And as a result of CGE intervention, they ended up getting school transport that is transporting them to their original schools and back to Point Road on a regular basis. It has become practice. Put pressure on the HOA meeting and then went on a site visit as a result of the intervention of the CGE. So to the other CEO, acting CEO, to that we are on top of it. Thank you. Thank you. Over to you, Dr. Matoso.
Point of correction.
They did that. I can take you there and go there. In December, these people called me. They told me they were being at those houses. Go and sorrow they're facing. Even when they are given a four-roomed house, nobody wants to help them. This is people, Chairperson. Thank you.
Hi. Patanga ambulance. Young police.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
The other questions, I'll attempt to answer them. The investigation is long. It dates back to 2019, and we are in 2024. And what is our plan to really make sure that the recommendations are adhered to? And I think, I'm not sure if my chairperson spoke to what would be the role of commissioners. And what we've agreed with the chairperson of the day. Yes. Now, our quite recent meeting was that as we have just concluded our strat plan, we need to also find a strat to the office that will amplify specific programs going forward that will be handled or led by commissioner. You are asking, I do trust that then this will be going to be done. All engagement would have a process with a specific would be ahead rest with the stakeholders. So definitely a plan in the APS within the CGE, and shelters will be one of those. Now, one of the things that an honorable member we highlighted, and I said this in my opening, was that even in 2010, when ETA was, they are unable to do certain things because of the lack of availability of resources. And what the court did say, Chairperson, was that the lack of availability of resources cannot always be the explanation that you are providing. There should be a progressive realization of those rights. And we took it from that angle to say, well, let us see what is really the challenge thus far. We've made an array of recommendations, Chairperson. And what is clearly coming out of our report is that availability of resources is a factor that is brought to our attention in as far as increasing the current number of shelters in the country. We have said to Eastern Cape, increase, and they said they don't have a budget. We said to Limpopo, please increase, and they said we don't have budget. And unfortunately, when you look at the manner in which even the constitution is crafted, certain rights are subject to the availability of resources. And I think this is where the department is leaning towards as a ground why certain things cannot be done in as part of the recommendations with the CGE. But we are saying there should be on a yearly basis some steps towards recognizing the progressive realization of rights in terms of increasing the capacity currently. But the reality is that what is presented before us, Chairperson, is that the limitation is largely informed by lack of availability of resources. However, where there have been resources allocated, like in the Free State, in the Northern Cape, where they indicated that they have budgeted 7,000 for establishment of shelters, to move around that and ensure that the three shelters are established in the Northern Cape. But it should not be an issue that is taken from one province and other provinces seem not to be able to move in that regard. So I do trust that, Chairperson, this will be an area where now at a high level between the ministry and the organization being the CGE, we would be able to now address what is outstanding, because what is clearly coming out is that it can be done. If Northern Cape could spend so much to establish three shelters, nothing prohibits Northwest to do likewise, and similarly Mpumalanga and other provinces. So it can be done. So we need that intentional commitment from the leadership. And I do trust that at a high level engagement between the commission and the ministry, this can be attended to. Now, in as far as Northwest is concerned, Chairperson, I think this came in two questions. rather from two honorable members, to say what is happening with Northwest. Are we going to impose some sanctions, if it's the sanctions, or basically what are we going to do as the CGE? Now, this is a problem that Chairperson, you did actually in the last session that I had opportunity to present before you, provided guidance to say where there is non-cooperation from particularly a state department, there's a route that we can utilize and take advantage of as the CGE. Because that is an area where when we look at the cooperation, there's a partial implementation of the recommendations of the CGE. So it's not like wholly they chose not to comply. There's certain information that they gave us and some they chose not to give us. But that on its own, we did say in our report, it amounts to non-cooperation because we are unable to apply our minds in terms of the progress that they have made. But because this will be one of the programs that once it's centralized towards a commissioner, we'll be able to centralize this and say at the high level, what must we do with the accounting officer? Because at the time of coming in, I think we had an acting accounting officer who came a few days later, somebody came in. So that also in a way contributed to us holding somebody accountable. Though it's not an excuse, but this is the feedback that even those that were coming before us to say certain things we don't have them. But we have written, and what we understand at this point is that they chose not to respond. And it's for the CG, of course, now to take the matter forward to say, what are we going to do? Is it a question where now we want to take the matter to the courts, wherein we now say you have failed to implement the recommendations of the CGE? And if that is the approach, Chairperson, one of the things that we are busy with at the Supreme Court of Appeal is confirming the powers of the CGE to impose sanctions, because the judiciary thus far seems to suggest that the Human Rights Commission, as well as the CGE, if we read the recent judgment, do not have powers to enforce their recommendations coming out of this report. You need to knock before the court first before you can implement that. So one of the things that we are doing as the CGE, in a way also responding to Honorable Sharif, is that we need to confirm our powers. If it's a question of the CGE being reviewed in a way that it's more specific when you look at other Chapter 9 institutions, then that is what we need to be. Because if you look at the CGE Act, Chairperson, you compare it with the Human Rights Commission as well as the Public Protector, there's something missing there. But we are saying on the basis of the Nganga judgment, we can read certain powers into the CGE Act. But we have been told thus far it cannot work that way by the judiciary. So we are in the process at the Supreme Court of Appeal, trusting it will lead, of course, to the Constitutional Court, where the powers of the CGE are clarified once and for all, which would then mean, Chairperson, all the reports that we are now producing, we don't have to cajole people or stakeholders to comply with us. We can simply take the matter of either going to the court immediately or approaching your offices for your guidance, so that those that do not appear to be cooperating, they can be dealt with. But one of our greatest limitations thus far of non-compliance is because there's a limitation in our legislation, and we trust that through the courts we'll get a better clarity in as far as that is concerned. Now the issue around having a shelter for LGBTI persons and the fact that training alone is not sufficient, we should be going back as a CGE to track in terms of training whether these programs are working and to what extent and so forth. Now, what I can tell, I'll just have to check, Chairperson, because I think we do have one in the Western Cape, but I just request indulgence that we rather come back and confirm if we don't have an LGBTI shelter in the Western Cape. But in as far as the training programs are concerned, we actually do monitor those. In the Western Cape, we did say, for example, when you do these training sessions to your staff members. You need to invite the CGE and partake in those, because we want to observe the blind spot in terms of their training materials or the delivery of their trainings towards the staff members and so forth. And we were able to do that in the Western Cape. We have done so also in the Limpopo. Chairperson?
What do we want to hear from you?
Yes, Chair.
Ebo? It's a holistic plan that you have recommended to the Department of Social Development,
right?
Regarding that,
yes, Chair.
Because training alone, I think in terms of your focus areas, you need to give us a comprehensive solution, yeah, with regard to that. Because if we are going to have pieces and pieces of this thing, we're not going to be able to deal with that problem as a country holistically. So I think your recommendation as CGE needs to be reconsidered by yourself, in terms of it, people LGBTQIA communities must not be discriminated. So there should be an approach, a uniform in all provinces that you as CGE, you are going to monitor the implementation of it by provinces. I think with regards to that one, let's agree that you'll have to do it that way and give to the Department of Social Development nationally, and that's what they should be implementing in all provinces. And provincial departments of social development, they should be implementing it in the right way, because it's like provinces are found wanting. So there's a gap. I don't know, what do you say, you and your chair?
Chairperson, I agree fully with the sentiments and the guidance. And it is for that reason, Chairperson, that we did say to the department, particularly the national one, that they need to develop a victim empowerment training and development framework. Because that framework, then, Chairperson, it will apply across. Without any subjective implementation. So we just know that framework is what we have in the country. It should be there and accessible to the department, but at the same time, accessible to members of the public. And if they can see that there is non-compliance, there should be a way in which they report the transgressions to either the CG or the department. But that framework plan is exactly what we thought it will help to address the issue going forward and avoid any secondary victimization, Chairperson.
Yeah.
Similarly, Chairperson, to the issues raised around the Gauteng social development, we do believe, Chairperson, that with the establishment of an intersectorial shelter policy, because one of the things that we didn't have was a uniform policy that all the departments can implement. So we welcome the intersectoral shelter policy for victims of crime and violence. That, Chairperson, would also, in our view, address salient issues around the discriminatory practices particularly for children over the age of 12, over the age of 16, and so forth. So we needed that uniformity that can be applied also in as far as that's concerned. Because we have said that in as far as the age is concerned, it is unfair discrimination. You're actually discriminating children on the basis of their age. You're also discriminating mothers on the basis of their children with specific age. So it cannot work. So what we did say, Chairperson, is that the issue of family rooms is the best mechanism to now deal with the issue of age in shelters. That is why we've recommended that instead of just now determining the issue around age for children, rather have designated family rooms, and family rooms will be able to cater children irrespective of their age. As long as this is a child, that person should be able to be accommodated at the specific shelter. So that is a clear recommendation that we have given. However, Chairperson, then the limitation comes in a form of availability of resources, to say it is not practical for us to have family rooms in terms of the infrastructures that the Department of Public Works has allocated to us. You know, so it becomes that conundrum when we look at it. But Chairperson, I believe that there is still room for that engagement between the CGE, the Ministry of Public Works, as well as the Ministry of Social Development, to say perhaps going forward, though the infrastructures and the buildings are allocated, can we try to develop more family rooms depending on the needs of that particular social development? But we need more rooms to really deal with the issue of age discrimination in the shelter. So what we've recommended is the family rooms, it will be able to address the challenge, Chairperson. We have not done an in-depth study, Chairperson, on the challenges. I think it's Honorable Sharif on substance abuse as well. But it's something that we have noted down, and I'm glad that my colleague is here as well, and then we will see what we can do around that. It is an area that we have not tapped into fully as the CG Chairperson. Then there is a question around, I think I've answered the one in Northwest. Chairperson, the issues around cases in KZN, first and foremost, I will just respectfully request more information.
In Northwest, there was I don't know whether it's a home or what, but honourable members can remind me. Grace Help Center.
Yes, Chair.
Grace Help Center. I think Nayuna, something like that. Yama for victims, the GPV. We went there as the portfolio committee, and when we were there, we discovered that there were 8 undocumented minors who were, you know, who are not South African citizens. And, you know, while we were there, we interviewed them. And when we were busy talking to them, we discovered that their mother is somewhere in Cape Town. And the mother is communicating with these kids. Honorable Sheriff, you remember that?
Yes, Chairperson.
So what I want to check with you, did you visit this one? It is a victim empowerment center also.
Sorry, to which province?
Northwest.
The one we went to?
Where we find 8 undocumented minors.
Chairperson,
Chair, if I could just come in there, you were with us at the CGE.
Yeah.
We were there when we discovered that actually these children, the parents are in Cape Town. They have actually, they're pretending that these children are abandoned, whereas the children are there, don't have food, given food, etc.
Yeah. And like Zuhale, you are 100% correct. You were with us.
Mm.
And Mama Zibuga was with us.
Yes.
Chairperson, in terms of our report, we did actually include the Grace Help Center as one of the entities that we needed to understand what is happening. So Chairperson, what we have highlighted there was that particularly under 2023 financial year, the HOD did not provide the information regarding the shelter because we wanted to understand, is it still operational? And there was no feedback because there were a lot of questions around the budgets that were allocated from 2015-2016 leading to 2021-2022. And there has been a decline. So we wanted to understand, is this still functional or not? And this is an area where the HOD at the time did not provide clarity in terms of whether the Grace Health Shelter post your visit, Chairperson, is still operational or not. And if so, how is it operational in terms of the budget allocations?
Is there anything that you can do, you know, to take us to someone or to take these people who doesn't want to give you information to court? Any lion standing at the court door?
Nothing, Chairperson. Hence, I've said, Chairperson, that the issue of the shelter, we're not going to have a piecemeal approach. We need to have a holistic approach wherein we identify all the challenges now emanating from this report. And we now we develop action plans to now say, within as far as Mpumalanga with non-information, this is what we are going to do. And as well as Northwest to say, this is what we are going to do. But as I've said, this is an area where we have just said with the Chairperson that we need to allocate specific persons in the form of commissioners that will now take some of these areas on so that we can know that we have implemented most of the issues in this report. So the most challenge here, Chairperson, is non-cooperation. Non-cooperation, not responding to emails. We have just had even quite recently where somebody says, I just didn't read your emails when we issued the subpoena. They didn't read our emails. They didn't. They said there were one person, and they're overwhelmed. They couldn't read our emails. So we know that.
Because Anilumi.
Yes. You know,
that's because you don't bite.
They don't take your work serious. Whatever letter or email you send to them, because they know this, that there won't be any consequences. I think you need to change how you do things.
Absolutely, Chair. We are working on that, Chairperson. I do believe that in the next coming months or year, there would be some areas that you will see change from. But the primary one, Chairperson, is we need to bite a little bit more with the understanding that when we bite, Chairperson, we are not going to be hit with wasted costs to say you're trying to achieve something that is outside your powers. So the elephant in the room, in addition to what I said, Chairperson, is we are told yours is to cajole, yours is to advise government, yours is not to have teeth. And we are saying as long as we don't have teeth, we are sitting with a situation where people can choose what to implement and what not to implement. And that is an area, Chairperson, that we need a pronouncement by the court, because as long as that is the situation, Chairperson, we can only rely on persuading them. We can only rely on perhaps the intervention from your councils to get cooperation, and which should not be the case. we are a Chapter 9 institution, and when they receive our correspondence, Chairperson, there should be immediate response to it. There are those that understand the ramification, but I think at the same time, they have studied the legislation very well to pick up our limitation. Ours is to address that limitation, Chairperson. Thank you.
So it means there is a need to amend the Act so that those aspects can be accommodated in the Act. You can also have a meeting with the Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities and propose to them that I think we have identified a gap in the Act and that this is what needs to be done. I think we need to do that. And not leave things hanging as if we don't know what we must do. So I think you need to take that into consideration and see how do you move forward.
Yeah,
because there's nothing that cannot be resolved. Acts are there, and they are there. We always do amendments. Last year, we dealt with the amendment of NYDA Act. So, Nani, we can do that. So, Nina, you need to approach the minister here, women and youth and persons with disabilities. Or including the state, the Law Reform Council, if need be. But Jay, you need to do something about it. People do enjoy yellow, you know. That's why Nibo Peg is under Nino.
That's why your hands are tied.
CEO, if,
can continue.
There are other things. I think with regards to what Mam Kaula have raised into the communities that were affected by floods, I think that one is a serious concern. When they, as portfolio committee, we made recommendations. But also, I think what you need to do is to have a meeting with the Minister of Human Settlement. Because Tina, when we were there as the portfolio committee, we were able to get the minister. And the minister assigned the agency that is dealing with that. And they were there with us that night. And Chairperson Mokgale, when are you born? Ubone labantu labena baba muvile.
Some of these people that you moved?
Of us, when we went there. Because we stood there and we said, we are going to sleep here with the people. With the people. If you don't allocate them in Dawe Yokhlala, we are not going to
a place to stay.
Hotels. And Nina, you'll account which why members of parliament did not go and sleep in the hotel where they were booked. We slept out there with the community. So we're doing as the portfolio committee. In fact, with their clothes and what, the children, they were standing outside. They had to be taken, moved from where they were to another building. We even cancelled our program because we stood by the side of the people as the committee. Some of those officials were asked to come back to work that night. I think we left around 2 a.m., if I'm not mistaken. Even the following day, we went back to check if abantu were right, including Mamshengwa and Omasiko were tasked by the committee to continue to talk to the MEC of Education, KZN, and so forth for the kids. They relocated the kids, so they had to take the kids to the schools that are nearby where they were. And those that were not able to be taken to schools that were nearby, as college school, they were given a transport batata from the shelter where they were to schools. I think we dealt with another issue where they put Amanyama families amaningi in the one, the flat one, and then Nankamanyama families and Abantwana Babafana, and then Kambe, a person has got Abantwana Abantombazana. So for
children,
we dealt with so many issues when we were in KZN as a committee. So those are some of the things that Mam Kaula was raising with you. So Probatla and Commissioner Masibuko were the ones who were dealing with these issues at that time. I'm not sure the latest and those that were affected after those ones. Yeah. I'm saying now you lay fan again nip in the foot. Nicheke, a case at end, and also with a Minister of Human Settlements. With Basisa Kona, Bantabasalema, who are winning a panda or what, Benzagalan. I think something like you lay. You need to reconsider it. Okay. See, if ever there's and some of the things is somebody wants to respond to, and your chairperson also can come in.
Chair, from my side, I've just checked there isn't anything from our side that we can respond to now. CFO has touched up on them, but I just wanted to give an update about the Grace Health Center. I've just confirmed that immediately after our visit in 2022, the center was closed and the children were transferred to Reamogetswe Child and Youth Care Center in Brits. So that place is not working as a shelter anymore, and the children have been relocated to Brits.
Okay. CEO? Oops, I lost the CEO.
Lost the CEO.
But the CEO.
I'm back. Sorry, Chairperson. My laptop had frozen. Apologies for that.
All right.
There was also a question. So I noted the Phoenix matters, Chairperson. And in terms of the skills that we are providing to shelters, Chairperson, we have a public education information unit. We are always available to provide the necessary guidance, particularly from a gender point of view, in terms of how to skill certain things and so forth. So our province is quite active in that regard. I wish the honourable members can understand correctly, Chairperson, is in as far as the late payments are concerned, this is the feedback that we were given by the social development to say the reason why this is happening is because certain documents are not submitted in time or they're submitted incorrectly or mismanagement of funds and so forth. So, and I agree with the honourable member to say perhaps it becomes important to DSD to take responsibility and actually educate the. So, Chairperson, so the issue is more about. Yes, so Chairperson, we agree that the responsibility as far that is concerned, so that there can be more training in that regard. In terms of duration of persons who are at the shelters, I think each case should be evaluated based on the merits of the matter. As long as the risk that is still existing out there for the complainants not to go out, then the person must be there. But as long as that risk has been mitigated, there should be, Chairperson, a situation where they are capacitated and integrated back to society. And that's where the skills program become handy, Chairperson. I think this is where I'll stop, Chairperson. In case I miss something, I'll be guided. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Acting CEO. You know, I must be careful. So,
Point of correction, sir. Ngifuna ukuthi acting
once our acting CGE member, I'm not fighting with him. Unfortunately, I go around, I take my arm, and I go and see things. KZN, it was not that they did not submit or they had given wrong bank details. It was said that they did not have money. The Department of Social Development did not have money. I also thank you, Chair, when I say we should call the Department of Social Development department and ask them things straight from them. Like when we see a person who's disabled, they're unable to walk, they're being raped in the house if it's a woman, but when they give her money, they only give the money for 6 months. Another person has a heart condition, they can't do anything, they're only given 6 months of payment. That we should think about from social development as well as public works, they should come in account. The issue that when we speak about these people and they said they went to do the oversight, thank you, Chairperson, for liking our country. The problem I have is that the things that they get after you or after the committee, I can still take right now to those people, even the cast that you speak of, Chair, saying that they should ferry children to school. That was done when we were there, and after that it stopped. The Minister of Human Settlements, I will not lie, we work very well with her. She goes there and also advises the people. After that, they do not want to do that, and there is no one from the CGE that follows up. I want to know that since 2018, 2019, all the way up to now, who have they taken, like the child that was CGE went there, but I never found out what they use of sitting in this committee, talk about things, but nothing happens. There's quite a lot of cases currently, I'll finish in 10 years in parliament, but such cases are still not completed. This issue of shelters is the same as universities and higher education institutions. But this really makes me angry because there's nothing as sad as seeing our people suffering while we're being honorable members. Our departments are failing us. I want to see people being arrested. The child that I was speaking about, Nimalu, well, is now disabled. I'm not fighting, but this affects me. I will not keep calls honorable, but the social development must come. They must explain to us because we will be posing questions to this acting person, but the problem is higher up. They said there was no money. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Kaula. I think let's agree that you are going to make full.
I need to discuss again under my portfolio comment.
We are going to make follow-ups on the things that were requested by members, and then including the case that I sent to Commissioner Mazimbuko and to the chairperson, which also is related to circumstances that Mam Kaula has just reported to the portfolio committee. Honorable members, I think you have another report there.
Yes,
that you needed to present. And my problem is we have only 30 minutes because sitting at Kalam or 2.
Sitting starts at 2.
So unless we reschedule it, Kashifa, we were taking chances in putting three reports on one on the same day because we know with these reports they take long. Maybe let's reschedule the two outstanding reports and see if next week can't we do them, and maybe also add another day where we're going to deal with the other reports. Kashifa?
Yes, Chairperson, I was just checking with Nelisa on the side now about doing the report focus on teenage pregnancy next week. Can we just clarify from the CGE Chairperson whether they've covered both shelter reports in this presentation or was it only focused on the one report? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, Kashifa, we have covered both of them. It's more or less the same issues, just bringing it up to date in terms of up to now, 2024, what we have been doing. But it's definitely the same issues. So it's okay for us to go on to the teenage pregnancy report for our next meeting.
Okay. Kashifa?
Yes, Chair, so we can check with Nelisa. We can do the report on teenage pregnancy for the meeting next Tuesday. Chairperson, we can just hear from Nelisa whether that can be confirmed now for Chairperson and members to know as well as the CGE. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, we can do the report next week on Tuesday, Chair.
Okay.
The Lena report. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Okay, that means we have come to the end of our meeting. So that members can, those who are in Cape Town can travel to Parliament, because I'm sure some of you are in the village. Maybe let's adjourn our meeting and then next week we'll deal with the one that deals about teenage pregnancy. Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson and Deputy Chair and all the commissioners present in the meeting. To our honorable members and all the staff from CGE and our portfolio committee. Next week, we'll meet next week 9:30. And I'm sure this will be the last report next from CGE.
No, Chair, there are other reports that were referred to the committee.
Which one?
So I'll have to go and check my report, Chair. They were referred
please
to the committee.
Please check and prepare another report.
Yes, Chair.
So that there can be two reports.
Okay, I'll do that.
CEO, next week, I'm sure you can take us through the report by just highlighting the most important things, ne? Not reading like you were doing today. When you give us the introduction, the background, and then go and just highlight our issues, our findings, our investigation, so that at least we can manage our time. But thank you very much. We have shortlisted last week. We have published candidates that have applied. After getting a two reports from state security and the verification of qualifications. So we'll be doing our interviews. We'll have to present our reports to the House before the 28th of March, because I think we'll be rising by the 28th of March. So we don't have time. But thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mamsa.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye.